Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special updated teaching on Christian philosophy was recorded at our 2012 New England Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
Praise the Lord. Well, tonight I'm going to talk about something that is not real exciting. I don't really enjoy it, but you know what? It needs to be done. It's kind of like eating your vegetables, broccoli or something, you know, and it's good for you, but you don't. It's not dessert. Tonight I want to talk about homosexuality and abortion. And like I said, this isn't my favorite thing, but you know what? We need to have a Christian perspective, a Christian philosophy. And if Christians don't speak out on this and teach from the Word of God, who's going to do it? I guarantee you, Planned Parenthood is not going to tell you the things that I'm telling you here tonight. And so you need to receive this. And like I said, it's not my favorite thing. But let me start with a passage of Scripture over here in Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19 and in verse 17. It says, "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." Jesus actually quoted from this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 22 when they came and said, "Which is the greatest of all of the commandments?" I think it's Matthew 22, 36 through 40. And he says, "The first is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and the second is to love your neighbor as yourself." And he quoted from this passage of Scripture. But look at the context of it. He's still talking about love. In verse 17, "Thou shalt not hate thy neighbor in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him." And then it talks about loving your neighbor as yourself. Did you know it is love to tell a person the truth? It's the truth that sets people free. And this says, don't hate your neighbor in your heart, but you shall in any wise, you know what that means? Under any circumstances, regardless of the consequences, regardless of the fallout from it, if you truly love people, you're going to tell them the truth and not suffer sin upon them. You know, I live in Colorado, and we have a mountain pass that I have to drive up to get to my house, and there's these twisty, turny roads, and this has been a number of years back, but I was driving, and it was real foggy. The speed limit is 55 or 60 along there, and I was going along, and it was foggy. It was hard to see very far, but a car passed me going at least 60 miles an hour, and he got just barely in front of me, and we were on a curve. And I saw his brake lights come on, and then his car just jerked violently to the right. So I slammed on my brakes, and I came to rest on the shoulder of the road right next to his car. And he had hit a horse that was in the road. And this horse hit right in the driver's side and just caved in, and it was right on top of him. And he was like right here next to me, and I was sitting right here looking at this guy, and he was bleeding from it. And as I was sitting there trying to assess this and realize what had happened, a Suburban came around the corner, and that horse was, his legs were facing the car as it came, and this Suburban was going 60 miles an hour, and this horse's legs were out, and that Suburban went up the legs of this horse and just decapitated that horse right here at the head. We never did find the head of this horse. It was just gone. And this Suburban hit that and launched it in the air. And it went at least 10 or 12 feet in the air. And then it went probably from here to that wall, 20, 30 feet in the air. And it hit. This woman's head actually poked through the roof. You could see a dome in the roof where her head went up in this roof. And she was able to control the car and stop it. I went up and checked on her. And she was hurt, but she was okay. I mean, she wasn't bleeding or anything, but she probably hurt her spine. And so anyway, the situation was that here were both lanes of this road blocked on a mountain road with fog, people going 60 miles an hour. And I knew that if something didn't happen, there was just going to be person after person after person coming around that corner and having a wreck and pile up because you couldn't see. And so you know what I did? I went back around the corner, and it was at night. It was dark. people driving 60 miles an hour, and I started jumping out in front of cars. And man, they would see me at the last minute because it was foggy, and they would stop and they would swerve, and people were swerving over the road. People honked their horn. I heard some ungodly things said about me. Man, people got mad. People were yelling and all kinds of stuff. But you know what? When they got around the corner, they understood what I was doing. And you can whitewash this any way you want to. But if I would have said, but I could scare some people. I could offend some people. Some people might get mad at me if I jump out in front of them. What are people going to think of me? And if I hadn't have done that because of how I might have offended people, you can whitewash it any way you want to, but I didn't love those people. I would love myself, and I would rather sit there and watch people get killed and damage to themselves, damage to their vehicles, because I just didn't want to take the criticism. You know what that is? That is a very descriptive picture of how the average Christian takes a stand on morality. They don't want to be offended. They don't want people to reject them. They don't want the criticism. They don't want somebody to say something. And so you know what's right and wrong. The Holy Spirit has shown you, but we whitewash it and say it all kinds of different ways. But the bottom line is we love ourselves. We hate our neighbor. We are willing to let people go headlong into sin because they may not understand. They might misjudge our intentions and criticize us for it. And so I offer this to you as I start talking about homosexuality and abortion. I'm not against anybody. I love everybody. And it's because I love people that I'm telling you the truth of what the Word says. I believe God's a good God. And if God says something is wrong, He did it because He knows what's right and what's wrong. God knows what it is that satisfies you and how you're supposed to act. And He did these things because He loves you. And I'm saying these things because I love you. And I am not going to hate you if you disagree with me. I pray that you won't hate me. You know, homosexuals and people that are pro-abortion will sit there and preach, you ought to be tolerant, and you're bigots and you're intolerant. And yet they are the most intolerant people on the face of the earth. I mean, they won't tolerate anybody who disagrees with them. I tolerate people that are homosexuals. I've had people on my staff who are homosexuals. I did not fire them. I dealt with them. They've gotten over it. They're still staff with me. We've had people in our Bible college who are homosexuals. We didn't kick them out. People treated them good. We aren't against anybody. But I don't proclaim that that is an acceptable lifestyle. It is a destructive lifestyle. And you cannot look at Scripture and become indifferent on this issue of homosexuality. Let me just share some scriptures with you about homosexuality. Let's start in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. You should be close. Leviticus 20, 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. How clear do you have to get? Homosexuality is an abomination, and in the Old Testament, you were to kill those people. Let me just say this, that there is a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. I don't believe anybody ought to kill a homosexual. I don't think you ought to be mean to homosexuals. I don't think you ought to be bad towards them. Homosexuality is a sin, just like adultery, just like lying, stealing, idolatry, and on, but it can all be forgiven. Acts chapter 13, I believe it's verse 38, 39, it says that under this new covenant, we are purged from all things from which we could not be purged under the first covenant. There is a difference since Jesus came. God placed all of our judgment upon Jesus, and God loves the homosexual. It is not New Testament doctrine to kill a homosexual, to hate them, okay? I am not against homosexuals. I'm against homosexuality because it's sin and it's destructive. The same as murder is destructive, or lying, or stealing, or on and on you could go. Adultery and fornication and all kinds of things. But there is a forgiveness and there is an antidote for all of those kind of things. Amen? So you need to understand these scriptures in the light of the New Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17. And let me just say that the Bible doesn't mince any words about this. Amen. I'm just reading scripture to you. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite. A sodomite is a person who's a homosexual based on the name Sodom and Gomorrah. A sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow. For even both of these are abomination unto the Lord thy God. The scripture here calls a sodomite a dog. And that's not necessarily meant to degenerate them. It's just talking about that this is the behavior of an animal. And it's descriptive of a sodomite. Amen. In Romans chapter 1, let's look at these verses. Are you blessed yet? In Romans chapter 1, in verse 26, it begins to start talking in verse 21 about progressive steps that people take away from God and how they get further and further and further away from God is what it's describing here. And so in verse 26, it says, "For this cause God gave them up to vile affections." And everything listed from this point on is called a vile affection. The Bible is saying that this is not a good affection. "For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature," talking about lesbianism. "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." I think that this is talking about all kinds of sexual, diseases and stuff. Sexually transmitted diseases, AIDS and things like this. This is not to say that God put these on people. There's just consequences.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on Christian philosophy. This five-part series was recorded at our 2012 New England Gospel Truth Seminar, and it's available for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM251 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries, and be sure to specify CD or DVD. The fifth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the fifth CD when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Also, be sure to check out the TV broadcast link to find out about the Gospel Truth TV program in your area. We hope to hear from you today.
I would like to encourage you to pray about becoming a partner with us. You know, we're reaching a lot of people through these radio programs, and the gospel is changing people's lives, but it costs money. I couldn't do this if it wasn't for our partners. I know many of you have been blessed by this teaching, and yet you've received, but you've never become a partner. I'd like to ask you to pray about it. I believe that the Lord is going to impress many of you about joining with us financially so that we can continue and even expand this radio ministry and the television ministry and all of the other things that we do. So please pray about becoming a partner with us, and then respond by calling in and letting us know that you're going to stand with us on a monthly basis.